and welcome to season two of the Working While Homeschooling podcast, the podcast for workingwhilehomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie, and I am your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, we'll be speaking to Stephanie, who is a writer and educational consultant. So, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am the writer and educational consultant for History Unboxed, which is a company that produces hands-on history activities for kids of all ages. And I am also a homeschool mom to a 7-year-old, and this year also became a public school mom for my kindergartner, and I have a tag-along 2-year-old as well. So we're busy around here, kind of going in all directions.
Absolutely, I can definitely tell. Well, tell us a little bit about your work as a writer and educational consultant. Exactly what is that and what does that mean?
Well, I kind of fell into this job. The owner of the company was looking for somebody to help write about American history and develop a series of subscription boxes for American history, and then my job has expanded over time. My basic role is writing for the subscription boxes. Each one has a magazine, and I write most of the articles for the magazines and do all the research leading up to it. I also help confirm authenticity of the crafts that go into the boxes and evaluate whether or not a potential activity might be cultural appropriation. Now I'm also representing the company at conferences. So it's a little bit of everything, but my most basic role is writing and providing the history perspective.
That sounds really interesting. You know, if someone may, is there a particular background or education or training that's kind of making that more doable for you?
I have kind of a perfect background for it, and I never could have planned for it. I was a history major in college, didn't know what I was going to do with that, then ended up going back to school and getting a master's in elementary education. Now, certainly degrees are not required for what I do, but it does help me to evaluate sources. It gave me a really strong background in research and writing. So those are the two biggest skills that I have to apply. And while our audience does include a large number of homeschoolers, a lot of our homeschoolers actually work with public charters. We're working within a standards framework, which is something I'm really used to from my teaching background.
Okay, great. Now you've got to pull homeschooling all into this. So can you tell us a little bit about your homeschooling style, maybe what kind of curriculum or programs you use?
Absolutely. We are secular, eclectic, academic homeschoolers. We do a mix of unschooling and curriculum, depending on our season and any rabbit holes or interests that we're having. When we're using a more structured approach, we've been using Torchlight curriculum for social studies in particular, although it covers other subject areas as well. We use Logic of English for phonics and reading skills, and we do Right Start Math when we're doing structured math. We also do a lot of unschooling math as well.
So that's a lot to be going on. How in the world do you fit it all in? What does a typical kind of day look like for you guys?
The biggest thing that I have found is that the same thing does not work every month or every week or even every day within a week, and we've had to be very flexible depending on how our needs have changed. Right now, I've been doing a lot of my work in the evenings after my kids are in bed, usually about 2 hours in the evening. Other times, I have spent time sitting at the kitchen table during the day, and I can usually get in a couple of hours working at the table with minimum interruptions for snacks and meals. And other times, I have had to work very intensely when we're rolling out a big project. During those times, we have relied on a sort of 6 weeks on for school schedule and 1 week off. And during that 1 week off, there are no school requirements, and I just focus on getting things done. And if it takes all day and my kids watch TV, then that's what it takes. Basically, it's every day just sort of gauging energy and schedule and figuring out what's going to work for us.
Well, that's really interesting. I do think that might be the first time on the podcast I've had somebody mention the 6 weeks on, 1 week off type schedule.
We were schooling year round before my son started public school. That worked really well for us when we were going year round because I never worried about taking, you know, a week off at a time. You know, again, we have a strong unschooling component, although we're definitely not full unschoolers. And that I think helps with this kind of schedule as well. We tend to be a little bit more relaxed and less rigid in routine.
Great. Now, is your spouse able to be involved or is it kind of more your job? How does that work for you guys?
I am extremely lucky to also have a spouse that works from home. He does work full time, but his schedule has some flexibility. We can tag team a little bit and he's able to take time off when I have to travel for work, which is really fantastic. And he's very supportive when I'm on a deadline and, you know, helping pick up some other areas, cooking.
Right.
If I'm really down to the wire.
Yeah. Well, I think we've had pasta out of the box several times this week when I was hitting a deadline. So I totally understand that.
Oh my gosh. Box pasta with jarred sauce is the miracle of my life.
So have you figured out any like personal life hacks beyond the 6 weeks on, 1 week off thing that we can all copy and steal from you? Is there like any little magical little tiny tricks that are making this life easier for you?
Oh my goodness. I wish there were magic tricks. I would say the biggest tip that I heard is not exactly a hack on how to do it all. It's more the understanding that I cannot do it all. A friend put it to me as housekeeping is not my hobby. There are people who take great pleasure in having a beautiful home and the work to make a beautiful home is something that enriches their lives. This is not something that gives me joy. And so I'm able to let go of the goal of having, you know, a perfect looking home. Instead, figure out what the bare minimum is that we need, you know, for hygiene and our basic needs to get through the day and being able to let go beyond that. I don't have to wear all the hats.
Right, right. I would say I personally love a beautiful, clean, perfect home, but I have no need to do it myself.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like some really do almost have a physical need to do mm-hmm. it themselves. It was the act of cleaning it that was very cathartic or something for them. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I just want to like enjoy it. I don't want to do it.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've learned delegating it to my kids. It might not be done well, but it's done.
100%. I'm definitely working on that myself as they're getting more capable.
Yeah. Your kids are small, so you've got some time to go.
Yes, the two-year-old is the opposite of helpful.
Every two-year-old is the opposite of helpful. Absolutely.
Yep.
So let me ask you another question. I know this is one we didn't ask before, but since you're kind of a mixed homeschool, public school family, what is that like? You know, how does that affect some of the decisions you make? You mentioned that affecting when you do school, for example.
Right. Well, you know, we've just definitely sort of fallen into a more traditional school schedule for the homeschooled kid, just because a lot of times, you know, she's distracted when her brother is home. On the other hand, he's a kid who loves learning and loves school. So sometimes he comes home from school and wants to do Brain Quest workbooks. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that pulls her in, even if it wasn't something she wanted to do earlier in the day, just because they like to do the same thing. They're only 22 months apart. That has a lot of pros and cons. The pro is that if they're doing something good, it often is a positive influence on the other one. I will say it makes working during the day easier to have my middle at school because it removes sibling rivalry from the equation, which I feel like is one of the biggest uses of my time when they are together.
Interesting. You know, I never really thought about it in that way.
Yeah. You know, if it's just him at home for some reason or just her at home, either way, it's usually pretty smooth. And, you know, I can usually tackle a to-do list or maybe get some writing done. But when they're together, they often require a lot of intervention.
What do your kids think about, you know, when you're working? What do they think about the idea of mommy working?
So they can cannot remember a time that I have not had this job, because I'm coming up, it'll be 5 years this spring. So they were pretty small. My daughter, the 7-year-old, she actually loves that I have this job because my boss's kids are some of her best friends. We have often scheduled meetings and play dates at the same time. And so she's always asking when I'm going to have another meeting. She also loves history. She has recently started picking up the books that I'm bringing home to review for our book list and taking an interest in those. You know, it's almost becoming more of a collaboration. And she loves the boxes. So, you know, she really enjoys kind of getting to be a tester, even though it's an unofficial position for her. She's always really excited when one comes in and we can do the crafts and read about history.
So do you get the weird comments when people find out that you're doing work and homeschool together? What are some of the weird things that you might hear from people?
Well, I think it's actually more of people don't perceive what I do as a real job, because it's kind of an unusual thing. You know, it's not a job that you hear about all the time. And, you know, writer is such a ambiguous job title that can mean everything from, you know, making huge amounts of money as a celebrity author to, you know, posting online just for the joy of writing and not making any money. So I think the biggest struggle has been to get people to see that this is a job that I work really hard at. And that it is real work. I actually stacked up all of the published materials that I've written over the past 5 years and posted it online because I was really proud of my work. People read what I write. I am a professional writer, but I think, you know, especially people who know you personally and aren't necessarily reading what you're writing, you know, it's hard for them to see that.
Right. I get that. I know when I first started working as a career coach, I had several years where people were like, oh, isn't that cute? The little wifey mm-hmm. business. Isn't that mm-hmm. adorable? The proverbial pat on the head. And it used to drive me bonkers. It used to set me off. And then when I started doing contract work for other companies, all of a sudden I was like, oh, well, you're working for somebody else. Now it's real.
Yeah.
But maybe it also gave me the confidence. Just like you said, you got to post it because you were proud of the work you do. And
right.
you know, that gave me the confidence for me to say it was real too, I think, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think women in general struggle with imposter syndrome. And that can be a difficult thing when you don't have a clear, you know, set hours job, when you're working in I'm not quite working for myself, but I'm very independent in my job. And it's a little different than what most people are used to.
It is. It's really different. Typical jobs, you have to clock in and clock out. You can't work after the kids go to bed, or, you know, you can't flex your hours so much as we can.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you mentioned imposter syndrome. And I know that we as women, and especially as we as homeschool moms, are really good at putting ourselves down and talking about what we stink at. So I wanted to ask you, is there something that you think that maybe you've gained out of this experience, or any positives you've gained out of this that you do well? Can you compliment yourself for us?
Yes. I am so happy that I'm doing something that I truly love. And it is both a creative outlet and intellectually stimulating, which makes, you know, the stress of finding time and juggling tasks 100% worth it. At the end of the day, I get to put something out there that I'm really proud of, something that I feel like is really beneficial to the educators that choose to use it. You know, I feel like a lot of the history that I write about really makes a difference because I'm bringing it from perspectives that don't always get told. I'm really proud of my work and the joy that it brings to my life.
Are there any questions that if you could have a conversation with our listeners today that you would want to have answered today?
I am always curious about what goes on in the homes of other more unschooly homeschooling parents that are working during the school day.
Right.
You know, how much active time do you give to your kids while they're, you know, pursuing their own interests and you're doing your thing? How much do you check in or monitor during the day, you know, or are they off, you know, completely independently? You know, I never know how much to jump in.
Well, listeners, if you do have any response to that that you would like to share, please email me and perhaps we can get you on the podcast as well so she can hear your answers, or I can pass them along as well. Okay, so as we wrap up, do you have any last words of advice or encouragement that you would like to kind of leave everyone with? I mean, if there was one thing they walked away from our conversation today with, what would you want them to hear?
I would say look for your passion. Look for the thing that brings you to life, and that when you are working, you do not feel like it is another bit of drudgery to add. You know, if it's at all avoidable, I realize, you know, financial situations sometimes call for less than ideal work. But if you're just looking for what's out there, look for the thing that brings you to life.
That is a great, great quote and great thought. lot. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me, so thank you. Please be sure to check out the show notes for the links to my site, workingwhilehomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways that you can connect with me online. And I do appreciate our listener supporters. So if you've enjoyed today's podcast, you too can help support me with a small monthly donation that's going to help me continue with great content and interviews like you've heard here today on the Working While Homeschooling podcast. Just check out the show notes for the link. I also appreciate your online reviews, all of you that are subscribing to the podcast, and thank you to all of you who are sharing this with your homeschooling friends. If you know someone that you think is going to be a great guest of our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingmomhomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening in today. Thank you to Stephanie for sharing her time and being our guest. And everyone, please make sure you're joining us in our Facebook group for continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working While Homeschooling.